What the mind is trying to promote and produce through controlling is whatever it sees as advantage or gain for itself. And a lot of times, as your question points out, that what it sees as gain for itself is highly culturally conditioned. But regardless of that, the dynamic is simply that. It's afraid of everything. It sees the world as presenting endless possibilities for loss. And it's always trying to control things to produce gain or to avoid loss for self. And whether it defines that as beauty or youth or sexual opportunity or wealth or status or whatever it is, but it all comes down to the same thing. So it's that fear-driven insistence on control and predictability. Predictability for the mind is an essential ingredient or foundation of control. Because unless the mind can predict things, it gets freaked out because it says, I'm losing control here. Yeah? So it wants to be able to predict and control everything. Now, what the mind calls understanding is part of that. You'll have to understand it and how it works in order to be able to predict it and therefore control the outcome. Yeah? So, you come to a place like this. Well, there is no other place like this. You come here. Find yourself in a situation where the mind is just like, it's like it can't understand what the fuck is going on here. It can't predict what the outcome is going to be. And it certainly can't control it. And it puts it in, it feels very challenged, very confronted by that. And so it's saying, okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to put up with this for these 5 days, but guess what? Soon we're going home and it's going to be back to the usual deal here. And I can play out my game. The next thing you have to realize is who's running that game? And what's their agenda? The answer is mischief. By mischief, I mean that force, if you want to call it, in the world that is interested in producing and maintaining imbalance. And imbalance on an individual level equals suffering and illness and misfortune. And on a cultural and world level, it equals, ecological catastrophe, collapse of institutions and blah, 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 blah. Sound familiar? Anybody? Mischief is the force that is less called interested in creating imbalance.
But isn't that just another name for evil?
Well, if you like to call it that, you can call it that. I don't use that word.
Well, that's the spying into the Satan thing, isn't it?
Well, for now, let's just let's not worry about the label for a moment. But what I do want to mention here is something that's perfectly obvious. It's so obvious that most people these days are in total denial about it. And that is, there is something at large in the world that is very interested at creating imbalance. And that something, call it whatever you want, is, well, at this time, way out of balance in the sense that it's has pretty much the upper hand these days. Yeah? Mm-hmm. You look at all the ecological disaster, you look at all the war, you look at all the extinguishing of species and the pollution of this and da 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 da. It's not a picture of balance. It's very strong, very present, and it has its own agenda. And here's the part that's, in one way, quite confronting. In another way, it is empowering to recognize this. And that is, first of all, that by far the greatest agent of imbalance in the world is mind-driven human action. Human actions. If you want to call it selfish, you want to call it greedy, you want to call it aggressive, whatever, it's all versions of the same deal. If you look at just the, what we call the natural world, if you make a temporary artificial distinction from natural world and human world, like if you ever have the exceedingly rare and rarer everyday opportunity to spend some time in a area of the world where there has been little or no human intervention, you see the world in a beautiful state of balance. You go to places where there's been a lot of mind-driven human activity, things are going to hell in the handbasket. The humbling thing is to see that the agent, you might say, of that agenda has a branch office between your ears.
Indigenous people consider this energy that creates imbalance, like a living force, right?
Yes.
And so in that way, human beings are kind of like, it's like that force really loves to work with us because we're so susceptible.
Yes.
We're easy.
Easy marks.
Yes. Which kind of lines up with how they Christianize it, right? Which is Satan loves the sinners, but it's really just, you want to not be susceptible to that force, you have to
get
in your heart.
Well, you have to devote yourself to those things that were given to us to keep that in its proper balance. It's not about going on a struggle to eliminate that from the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the world. The world is, like we're saying the other night, light and dark, emptiness and fullness, cold and warm, so on and so forth. Even the progression of the seasons is a slight series of imbalances which correct themselves. One of the things that makes the world go wild. So it's not about making it, trying to banish it somehow, but it's about, always about balance. And the difference between what I'm going to call the successful indigenous people, which means the ones who have managed to skill the following, is balance are that they are staying true to the instructions about how to keep that thing in its proper place. Of course, Western society has ignored and desecrated and abandoned that. And therefore, we find that the world in accelerating catastrophic state of imbalance. Now, what does this all have to do with coming home from healing? Well, the thing is that leaving this special sacred place, have to recognize this confronting fact that you're going back into a world that where that force of imbalance, which again has a branch office in between your ears, is running rampant. And what's going on here and what you're receiving here, that force is very interested in defeating. Very interested in defeating
the imbalance.
Yes. So the other night I mentioned about blessings, and I gave a quick and dirty definition of a blessing. I said blessing is a force, for lack of a better word, that destabilizes imbalance. Mm-hmm. Therefore, enough balance, which is a benefit not only to the individual, but to the community, both humans and non-humans. Okay? But, without getting into a whole satanic conversation here, you just have to realize that there is, let's call it a countervailing force, which is interested in more imbalance and more, it's like this big vacuum cleaner that tries to suck everything into nothingness. It creates, it promotes. So I'm going to give you a little Mitchell version here. They say it produces coldness, distance, and hunger. So, what's happening here is something that that little branch office really can't deal with. You can't understand it, can't predict it, certainly can't control it, but deep down it knows that it's something that is threatening to its sense of control, which it maintains by keeping you isolated, distance, cold, meaning fearful, and hungry, meaning feeling empty. So you recognize that it has a few tricks that it's going to try and bring to bear to defeat your blessing. Now, if you don't know that, if you can't accept that, it makes you easier prey. But if you see it and have a little orientation to the tricks, it's not difficult to defeat the defeater. To speak about its main strategies here and how to deal with them. So, one has to do with, this is something that came up in the conversation earlier. I'm just going to put it in the category of expectations are a little trick of the mind to regain territory. Because expectations are about control and outcome. Yes? They are set up for failure. So how does that work? So you come here with certain expectations, develop expectations from here, which is along the line, the variations on the theme, but it's basically, I expect that letting them receive from this is X, Y, and Z. Resolution of problems A, B, and C within a time frame of M, N, and O. The line says, these are my expectations, they are realistic, they are truthful, and they are therefore the reliable standard to grant acceptance and authenticity to the experience. If my expectations are met, I'm going to say, okay, it's a bunch of hooey, and let's go back to business as usual, which is misery. So here's the thing about expectations. Moving. But the human real intellectual mind has any capacity to predict, or even set a standard for how things are going to work out later in this vast and complex and mysterious world. If you have any doubt about that, take the testimony of your experience. In other words, how often have you had an expectation that worked out exactly as you thought it was going to be? If you reflect on it, you probably say, never. In fact, I don't know about you guys, but I came to the conclusion years ago that when I find myself spinning out expectations / hopes about how things will work out, I can say, that's a sure sign it's not going to work out that way. But you see, there's a clever little strategy there. Because even the mind knows it doesn't know enough to be able to set those standards. But it says, these are the standards, and that's the truth. And if it doesn't meet the standards, then I get to deny or denigrate or defeat the whole thing. And say, see, I'm the only God who knows what's going on here, so take my advice. I'm keeping you safe. I'm providing for you. I'm the only one who can make it work out for you. Well, does it work out? No. So guess what? The mind gets to say, well, maybe it was nice while I was there, but, you know, that was that, and now this is the real world, and it doesn't work like that. So I guess to regain is truth. And in case you doubt it, let me tell you that if you buy into that, it can really undo the lies. So in this conversation, I find myself always recalling this experience of years ago.
Give me a chance.